Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Oh, hi, Neil. Today, we are talking about whether your life is an accident or not. And we're going to be getting that into that in just a moment. But first, I want to invite our callers and listeners to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. Listener line 914-338-0164. Do press 1. If you'd like to speak with us, because that will let us know that you want a reading. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And we also would love our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. Okay, so that coffee maker is a little loud.
Yeah. Well, accident. When we think about it, the word accident, we normally think of the idea that it, something wasn't supposed to happen. It was an accident. It wasn't intended.
A mistake.
A mistake. Not even a mistake. Perhaps a mistake, but a mistake implies there's an intention behind it, first of all. And the purity of an accident is that it comes out of the blue.
A mistake is an accident.
Something that is not connected to any type of motivation or anything. It was an accident. Now, in terms of when we get into the idea of life itself, first of all, is it an accident that we were created? Is it an accident that we came to the earth, the planet? In a way, an accident is also considered an incident. And so we get into the concept of whether our lives are here by accident or not. We get into a big philosophical debate. But in our terminology, what we're dealing with is your life an accident? Now, in that regard, on the kind of astral psychic realm, we have to look at a couple of things. One being that, is your life a series of accidents? Have you been in a lot of accidents in your life? Things that you never intended to happen and things that just came out of the blue. Is your life comprised of a lot of, quote, accidents? That may be something to measurably consider, because the idea of an accident in our terminology is also predicated on the idea that we bring into the world our worldly existence accidents that are derived from past lives.
So, I mean, getting into that specifically, people may have a portion of their lives where there's a series of accidents and then they're released from that. So there's a more transcendent phase that the person is able to enter, and it's not confined to a series of accidents from birth to death. But some people, unfortunately, have the misfortune of having a lifetime that's filled with that kind of energy because they're unable to get out from underneath the karma that they created in the past lives.
Well, yeah, and then we root the word accident to karma. Our lives may be comprised of a number of accidents, aside from the fact that we all experience accidents on some sort throughout lifetime.
Well, so can we specifically real quick get into the idea of accidents, an actual accident, a car accident, or, you know, any other kind of accident, like a physical accident that happens in a person's life. Sometimes I think those accidents are just a part of living on the planet, but a lot of times if people are prone to those type of accidents,
well, I mean,
there's a past life link.
There's the idea, and I'm sure listeners will say, there are no accidents. Everything has a meaning. Everything's intended. And if we're to assume that maybe an accident has a root system to a karma that now manifests in our world as an accident, and it's karma being brought back to our existence, that could be one premise, that we are meeting up with not an accident, but with justifiable karma on some level, even though we may in our lifetime seem like a hapless victim of such a circumstance. So the idea then, we have to get into that more of that esoteric metaphysical phase of explanation that would suggest that accidents are karmically induced. And if that is the case, then yes, there can be a readout on that. Things can be spread apart in a reading where you can maybe determine that accidents are linked to some kind of karma through a series of questions and validations.
Right. So, I mean, it can be determined whether they're just, you know, accidents or there's a link.
Well, now, when we get into the word accident, an accident, when you really look at it scientifically, there are no accidents because everything is predicated on the fact of action. So if we are walking if we're walking too quickly and we're not thinking and we trip and fall off a curb and break our leg, or we step in the street too fast and get hit by a car because we're walking too quick, is that an accident or is that carelessness or not being directed by
or a mistake?
A conscious energy.
or a mistake.
You know,
so we're back on that word.
So we get into this idea of accident. And on several different levels, we can interpret it as having some link to at least some justifiable form of logic. But for those of you who are out there and just saying, look, aside from all the talk and the rhetoric, my life seems to be a major accident. And whether I'm being compelled to understand why, I want to know how to get out of it. How do we get out of an accident if that
right.
is the case of some of our life situations?
Especially when the person going through a life that feels like an accident seems to be making the right decisions in their life instead of, or in his or her life,
well,
rather. So, you know, sometimes people live situations that are accidents and have lives that are a mess, but there's also an active participation in that life in terms of the decisions that are made. But, you know, there are other people that seemingly make good decisions and still have the worst of luck.
Well, there can be, but there's also this element of not being careful enough. Accidents can occur because we're around people we shouldn't really be around. And because we're around these people and in their energy field,
right.
we suffer accidents.
But in each individual situation, that can be measured and evaluated depending on, you know, their specific circumstances. So
yeah.
You're saying caution.
Caution and being alert.
Of course.
Caution and being alert are two factors. Other things that can avert accidents is a total awareness every day of going into deep realms of meditation, talking to your guides and spirits, your angels. These are forms of energy fields that can provide for us some shield against an accident, as well as strengthening one's own energy field on their very own, and chakra systems and things like that. So accidents do occur. There was just this hiker, this guy.
The Asian guy.
Not well, he's from Korea, I think.
Yeah,
or
he's
somewhere.
Asian, and they called him, there was some name they had for him. He was like really
intelligent hiker, and he was hiking, I think, Mount Baldy or something, and he got caught in a freeze zone of snow drift or something and suffered probably exposure, hypothermia. And he succumbed to the elements. Is that an accident, or was that a risk that he took that formulated into a sorry set of circumstances? When we get into the idea, even if we're using careful analysis, and we're taking all the precautions, you know, this happens with mountain climbers, scuba divers, people who do race cars. And I mean, not, it just doesn't have to be something dramatic in terms of sports. It can happen with people who trust people. People who get into a car and they put their seatbelt on and they're driving okay, and somebody else runs a red light and did some. You know, the term accident is a really loaded word, because even in the vocabulary of traffic, we say there was an accident. But was the accident intended, or was it truly an accident? The word itself is a powerful word. And when we get into the life form that we are living an accident, if we are living an accident, then we really have to examine the very molecules of our consciousness to try to discover why we are in the element of what it would be deemed as an accident of life. Because if you're here, number one, if you're here, that's not an accident. It's an act, but it's not an accident. It didn't happen. Your life is a reality. It's for real. And whether you define it as an accident or a blessing, it's still in its depth. It's the concept of that you exist. And within existence, you can have blessings, you can have accidents. But for those that claim to say, look, my whole life is an accident, you know, maybe there's some validity to it. There's enough suicides to suggest that people think their lives are an accident and wow, are just a fatal mission of life, ultimately. But the idea is, how do we deal as a living human form with the element of being in the realm of what we would consider as an accident? How do we deal with life on that level?
So one thing that was mentioned earlier was being extra cautious when you feel like your life is out of your control, then exercising more control in areas where you are not being as careful as you should.
Control, going deep into your survival skills, you know, your Robinson Crusoe survival skills, your whatever it may be as the proper metaphor, but tapping into the very soul of who you are as a human being. Your sense of having courage, of being innovative, of being instrumental in life. Sometimes accidents turn into blessings because people who suffer accidents become more sensitive to existence, and they become great helpers. They don't dwell on the fact that their life is an accident, but they dwell on the fact that how do you live through an accident?
Right, but this word is starting to annoy me. The word accident, repeating it over and over. But, you know, there are people that their whole lives aren't accidents, but they do have accidents within their lives. So there's extra caution that can be exercised in those people's lives. And they also, like you said, can be a launching pad for either proactive behavior, or it can unravel a person.
Yes. Now, aside from that, there might be some listeners who would say, well, you know, I'm not into any of this. My life is a series of accidents, and I want my life to be better. That's all. Then we can look at maybe the etheric realm, astral energy.
There's going to be a problem in the chakra system in some area, for sure, if there's a...
Yeah. Yeah, there could be something internally going on in the individual where there can be a correction made. And I think that's totally legitimate, too, that we can just say an accident can be a problem that can be corrected. And so there's some hope there that you don't have to just assume that your life is going to be in this element of, quote, accident, and have to live it through. Of course, there are those people who do suffer a deep, deep, deep wound of karma, and it doesn't really heal in one particular
time. And I think we mentioned that earlier, a person who suffers out their life and is not able to get out of the karma.
Yeah.
No matter what is done.
Right. You know, we're not insensitive to those people who, there are human beings on the planet that live a miserable life and die a miserable death. And whatever can be offered, whatever we can do to offer assistance, like being available on our show and giving some sense of guidance or encouragement, or anyone that you may encounter that leads a life of misery, that can be, you look at them and go, my God, this person is just a series of accidents with this person. They're so good, but they just, it's a sad, pathetic story of this human condition. So what you want to do with people like that is show them kindness a little bit more. Sometimes a little bit of kindness goes a long way. You know, you have to keep your own boundaries intact so that you're not taken advantage of. But you have to understand where your limitations are and always understand that you don't have to be a psychic, you don't have to be a mystic, and you don't have to be a saint in order to interact with a human being whose life is in a series of accidents. And for those who do experience accidents, always understand that on some level, there is help. There is an answer that might not totally satisfy a condition, but it can help greatly assist in a positive way.
So if your life is headed in a direction that you think is positive and suddenly you're an accident situation befalls you, this can be an indication that you're stepping into a past life karma. So tracing, I think, what caused this entry into this accident.
Well,
it's very important.
If you have the, yes, that's what we're all about. And if you have the ample amount of time to leisurely investigate that, that's fine. If you don't, then what the first alert is to seek aid, to seek help. You're in an accident, you go to a doctor, you go to the police, you go to forces that will help you remedy the accident or at least help you get back into some sense of support. That leads to autonomy. So I think that in the term, if we're looking at this in a purely physical world, how do you deal with an accident? You seek aid, you seek help, and you try to quickly redeem yourself or readily modify the accident in such a way that you get back on your feet.
Before we take callers, you know, I know that car accidents often in your interpretation, Neil, are a result of a past life war karma, which is really interesting because, I mean, there are all kinds of different accidents people get into, but specifically car accidents, you often say someone was in a war in a past life and that's coming into their present incarnation.
In many cases, yes, I do. The opposing forces, you know, when you think about getting into a car, you're really entering a world you're confronted continuously by death. Oncoming traffic facing you going at 40, 60 miles an hour, even 30, 20, that's death-defying. It's almost like the old, the knights when they used to battle in the tournaments. But you have opposing
the duels,
forces.
You mean?
The duels, but on the horses. I forget.
Fencing?
Lances, yeah.
Lances. But fencing.
Yeah.
Fencing is on feet.
No, fencing is sword.
It's sword. But
there's there's a term for it. We'll go to medieval times and call them up. But
I don't think so. I would never set foot in that place, on.
You know, and then in terms of, you know, sneak attacks where cars rear end somebody, there's always this element that, at least in my perception of things, I like to have the time to go into the I like to go into the idea that there is some link to war karma that can manifest on the road because the war is not readily available to put that energy in. So it has to, the karma has to find some way to incorporate itself into fulfilling its role, if you will. And that can occur, that oftentimes occurs on the road and in traffic zone, as opposed to just carelessness or recklessness or things like that. People who drink and drive and get into accidents, I don't necessarily call that
war karma.
I just call that stupidity,
right,
and carelessness and negligence. But aside from that,
which is something that will follow with them into their successive incarnation, obviously, if you're creating that kind of karma, you're not going to be transcending.
I mean, to say that somebody was drinking and driving and they got into a collision and they killed somebody, was that an accident? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that was an intended
Right. Well, now they're, there's a lot of prosecution, that murder prosecution for people that are drunk driving, especially if they're repeat offenders, because they used to be handled much differently 25 years ago, you know.
It was. But, you know, before we wrap up here, get to our callers, because we're going to get to the mail. You see, the word accident is multi-layered. In the word, in our wordage of psychic vocabulary, we're looking at it being linked to possibilities of past life karma, as well as to current energy fields that might be surrounding an individual that invite the element of, quote, accident into one's life. And in both cases, they can be examined, investigated, modified, altered, or at least understood. And that might bring some sense of well-being, or that understanding can help someone feel a little bit more grounded as to why, quote, accidents occur in people's lives.
And on the next show, we're going to be talking about accidentals.
Yeah.
Musical accidentals.
Yeah.
Okay, just kidding. Callers, we've got some people in the queue that have not pressed one. Those of you who are waiting in the queue, who would like to speak with us, 262-315, you have not pressed one. If you'd like to speak with us, please press one. Maybe they're just listening. They are just listening. Okay, 805. This is Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Happy Friday to both of you. You're cracking me up with the mistake and the accident. Oh, my gosh. Neil's going to be sleeping on the couch tonight. I'm sorry. I've been meaning to say that. No, I really
love
you guys.
We like to provide entertainment to our callers, so hopefully we can do that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before I ask my question, I wanted to say this. One's gratitude and attitude and mindfulness will manifest and create the reality. That's what I think. So stay humble, I think, is the message there. What I wanted to ask him, because it's always about business, is
well, you're asking,
he,
Cheryl, you're asking us. This is we work as a team. So just rephrase.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, both of you together, of course. People are in trouble today. I wanted to see if my dad has any messages, because it's always about work. And, you know, my work is, like, overrated. And I'm like, every time I call in, it's about work, or I guess wanting to know something negative. So I was just wondering if you get anything for my dad.
Well, one thing I'm getting from your father, if indeed there can be any interpretation around the word October, because he seems to be sending me that word. Does October have any immediate meaning to you?
Oh, how sweet. Yeah, he's my 10. He's my October 10th is his birthday.
Okay. So that you see, I didn't know that. And okay, so that's a link to a conversation with him, and he's giving not only October as the word of introduction, but then October 10th, because the 10th is also the 10th month. So he's giving, one and one is two, so he's sending us a message of love to you, is what I'm perceiving this to be. So first of all, when a human being that's alive on the planet starts to talk about their past, the people who have crossed over, that meant a lot to them. It's always nice that somebody extends that kind of energy to them. Now, that soul may be available, they may not be, but it seems to be in this situation that your father is available, that he's saying something. And so what they do is they send a vibration, and then the vibration comes to the reader, and the reader decodes the vibration. And so actually the vibration formulated into the word October 10th added to the interpretation of it being a two, which meant that he's saying he loves you. And I believe he's also putting out to his grandchildren. So the first of all, the element is love, and love, the energy of love in the astral realm is of great magnitude. It means so much to souls and spirits that no other words can supersede them. It's just the matter that he loves you. But you got to understand that that's coming basically from his soul and his spirit, not just his body, which can be confused with all kinds of conditions and situations. So first of all, he upholds you and loves you, and that remains a high standard of conversation.
Did he die prematurely, Cheryl?
Yeah, he was 59. It's been like 17 years. Feels like yesterday, but...
17 years. What year did he die? 17 years. So it's 2000 he died?
May 30th, 1999, actually.
1999?
Yeah. So he would have been about 76 today.
99, so 8.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
That's interesting, you know, because that... Am I adding that up right? 5/30, 1999, right?
Yeah.
18. And if that's your karmic and master number, the day he died, 36/9.
Yeah.
So you two were really strongly connected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was an orphan, too, you know. And over this past week, I got my results of my, you know, DNA, ancestry DNA, which is like, you know, Russian Jewish, like, family. And I actually found his father. I linked someone up. His father... I found a gal who my grandfather and her grandfather are brothers. So that was kind of cool because our DNA was a match. So
what DNA test did you do?
The ancestry DNA.
And they're that specific?
You know, the saliva,
about,
saliva.
Like, Russian, the countries?
Yeah, a Jewish Russian, like 43%. And then it had some Irish, Britain. Yeah, so it breaks it down. I don't have it in front of me, but it was Jewish descent because I was trying to figure out how much from mom's side, mm-hmm. how much from his side. You know, I just don't have any history because he was an orphan, but what was mm-hmm. so nice is meeting that person. She told me about his history and that he was the youngest of 6 kids and she had all this information. So it was nice meeting her to find out even more things I should have asked years ago. But I was only 33 when he passed, so
God,
I didn't get a lot of time.
Very young to...
Yeah, and I mean, I had to be the one that planned the funeral and everything. I was like, I was the closest person to him, you know, out of anybody in his life.
Did you say why he died? Did I ask you why he died?
Yeah, he had a heart attack. He had a heart attack and then a skull fracture. And then I kept him, of course, on, you know, resuscitate for 5 months. And he started waking up out of it. And you could see that he... neurologically he wasn't okay, so I just told the higher power, I said, take him, because I'm going to leave him on resuscitate. You know, I'm 33 years old and I'm selfish. I don't want to lose my dad. So
yeah,
he went on his own, you know.
We don't have a full birth date.
Oh, he was 10/10/39,
which is a 4. 39 is a 4, but the 5, so 2/12/24/6.
Well, the, you know, 59, you're a little bit Irish, Jewish, Russian, Irish, whatever. You know, James Joyce died when he was 59 and a half. Not that that means anything, but that age has always impressed me to the extent that a lot of people seem to die at 33. That's how old you were when he died. A lot of famous comedians die at 33.
No, they're 29 also is the age.
Yeah, that's different, but 33 is a big age.
I know, in the Jesus
and 59
thing.
Is also a kind of a telling age. And in regard to your father, there's a certain amount of karma in his month and day, Cheryl. Those zeros with the outstanding 11 left over present some idea of karma. And when we talk about a heart attack and then he had a skull fracture, maybe he fell during the heart attack or something. But this idea,
right, and that 4/6.
We're dealing with the word accident. This idea, you know, he might have come back to hit that destiny. But what I'm getting from him, more pertinent to our moment in time here, is that he's on the other side and he seems to be stable. And what I mean by stable is I don't get the impression that he's in turmoil, like, oh, my God, I'm coming back. Whatever he's in right now, he's stable. And whether he's in transition and going to ultimately come back He seems to be in a stable place. He's also talking about a lot of flowers around his grave. Now, Jews don't usually, there's not usually cremation. Was he buried?
It's funny because he always used to call it Chris Hanna because it was like, he was like, oh, you're half Jewish and half not. So we'll get a Hanukkah bush tree. And so his thing was always just throw me some flowers. Well, yeah, you don't have flowers. But when I buried him, I just kind of mixed all traditions, even though it was Mount Sinai. He used to always make jokes about that. So maybe I need to go bring a flower next time I go. But he knows it's not Jewish tradition to do that. And,
yeah.
You know, I want to say before the last time I saw him when he was alive and well, and he didn't really have medical problems. He had one medication he was on. And I used to tell him, you need to see a doctor. You need to get a physical done. And my words to him that last visit was, I want you to know, Dad, that when you're not here, you're still going to be here. It was really weird because I was just kind of newly into the spiritual journey. But he said, whatever, daughter, because he used to say that to me. So I was telling him, when you're not here, you're still going to be here. And what I meant was spirit, you know, that we never leave. And so that's why I think he's glad he's, you know, that I'd mention that. And I guess I need to acknowledge him more, that he's around me more.
Well, it's always a nice vibration that when you do, it's always a nice sending message. So he made a contact with you, and we're glad to be of assistance.
Okay, Cheryl.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have Amy here waiting. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I've been sick the last 2 days.
Really? What kind of sick?
Nasty. Like stomach pains, and woke up throwing up, and now I have a headache. So I don't know if this is just test resistance, but interesting because the last caller, my dad died at 59 and I was 33.
Oh, really?
And it was a heart attack.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty weird.
I'm like, am I listening to myself?
She's 12/29/69.
Well, not 73.
No, not 73. 12/29/69. She's 39/12/3.
65. You said
69. 69.
Okay.
Sorry, Amy. We were just working out your birth date details. Go on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know. I just called. I just used you said the people hadn't hit one, so I hit one.
Well, let's first ask how your reprogramming has been going. Have you been better in terms of your emotions and falling back into
like
patterns and all that?
I just don't know if the sick is emotions or if it's really sick.
I want to ask you something, you know, forget about whether I'm accurate or not, but when was the last time you had any kind of fish?
Fish? Last week.
So you had fish last week. What, can I ask where you had it? What kind of fish was it?
I can't remember. I think Tuesday, maybe some tilapia.
Oh.
Why?
Really? Those aren't – so you think last Tuesday, like 4 days ago?
No, like the Tuesday before.
Oh. Hmm. You know, that fish is not a great fish. It feeds on a lot of waste and it lives in its own way. It's just not a good situation. But I don't know. You have a bacteria – what – you know, we're not doctors, okay? We can't claim to be.
I know.
We can't
yeah.
give diagnosis like that. But what we can do as psychics is we can give psychic opinions. Then we're safe when we say that, more or less.
Yep.
We're not giving medical advice. So on a psychic level, I think you have that bacteria. I think you've got a bug. I don't think it's something, you know, psychological repression. But I think you have a bug. I think you got sick and ate something. Now, whether it came from the fish and there's some kind of parasite that you're dealing with, you might want to go through maybe a cleansing or a wash or something something that might help in that area. Your body, as you eliminate and you throw up and get rid of stuff, it might just come out that way and eventually your body will restore itself.
Should she go to a doctor? I mean, the parasite can be serious.
Well,
you think it's just kind of something that maybe is going to pass through?
We can't
give medical advice.
We can't give medical advice. You're going to a doctor's up to you. I mean, I've done readings where I've over the phone, I said, gee, I don't know you, but I feel there's a spot on your back. You better go to a doctor. And the person went and found that it was malignant and it saved their life.
Yeah.
The case. I don't think you're in any kind of death, life defying situation, but you might have a little bit of a bug going on that, could be part of the energy that you're going through. You know, there are things you can take, a little bit of vinegar. I don't know. Go online and look at some things that
she's an acupuncturist. I mean, or she's on her way to be an acupuncturist. No, but there's herbs.
There's something in her system.
I know, but they are, it's not only acupuncture. There's probably some kind of herb in Chinese medicine that might help to eliminate whatever's going on.
You know, people take Chinese medicines and they also get sick from that too, because somebody just died doing that.
Oh, and from the tea. In San Francisco.
From the tea.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. I probably, you know, hey, I want to ask you something else. Does your house have a lot of papers stacked up anywhere? Is there a cluttering, dust?
Some places downstairs.
I just think, Amy, you got a bug, and I might suggest you do a little bit of cleanup in body and in environment. And don't take this as being something deep like, oh my God, am I going through some kind of karma? Is this repression? Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I'm not. I just feel like crap.
Yeah, food poisoning.
I'm not taking anything personally. Just kind of miserable.
You're good at telling. You go online and you look at remedies. What do you do for them?
For a parasite? I mean,
she's feeling. What can you take? Is there a certain?
I don't know. It's too bad you don't have any. What's that medicine from? It's a Western medicine. The anti-nausea. What is that? You know, it's a pill. It's something that you can get from prescription. Not Compazine, which is one, but there's another one that's better than Compazine for nausea. I've taken it, you know, when I've been nauseous or, you know, nauseated from medication.
Are you keeping down your food right now?
I was only throwing up once in the night, not last night, the night before, and I can eat, but after I eat it hurts. My stomach feels distended, so I don't eat a lot.
The thing about anti-nausea medication, though, if you have something that you need to get out of you, you don't want to take something that's going to prevent you from vomiting, because you want to get the toxins out rather than, you know.
Sure.
So I don't know if I'd recommend that.
You know what?
I hate being nauseous. I can't handle it. I'm not someone who's really prone to nausea. So when I get nauseous, it's like panic zone.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be gone in a day or two. I don't know. You know, I think you might, because you have some anxiety around you, you might be linking it to that. But
yeah.
I think you had something. What did you eat last night?
Spaghetti with a meat sauce and veggies in it.
Were you sick before the spaghetti?
Yeah. I can't remember. I think I had soup that we had frozen. We had made it a few months ago.
I don't know. I mean, there might be some food thing in there. It's going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be.
One other thing is that she could be like coconut water. I would eat probably more mild food than spaghetti with meat sauce. That sounds like it could be pretty irritating to the digestive system, especially if you're vomiting. But like coconut water is a good natural drink to replenish electrolytes and things like that. Like Gatorade is an alternative too, but it's got so much artificial crap in it. I would drink coconut water because you're likely depleted in electrolytes and things like that, and that will help to restore them and also, you know, not be irritating to your stomach. I would suggest that. A lot of people drink it for hangovers. So
yeah, because in the future you don't want to have any accidents.
God, I think we'll be wrapping up the topic of accidents today. Anyway, when's your test again, Amy? I know I've asked you like 4 times, but I am not remembering.
It's scheduled for Wednesday.
Wednesday. I thought it was coming up. Okay, well, we'll put out good energy for you, and hopefully you're prepared for that. So, good luck.
Yes, I'm a little bummed, too, that I don't have energy to study today.
Yeah, well, better you rejuvenate than, not.
My solution to where you're at, the way to get out of it is to work hard at positive energy. You got to fight the demons here and work hard at positive energy. Keep your mind glued to it and let your body hear the message that you are being positive, so those molecules can be infused with a lot of that good energy. Start there, because I'm hearing a lot of negative stuff coming from you, maybe merited, but it's not going to help you.
So what kind of wording should I repeat?
I feel great. Everything's going great. I'm feeling excited. Think about things that make you feel good. Just pretend. Go into Peter Pan land. Just start saying things that are positive.
Okay,
Amy.
All right, thanks. Happy Easter. Keep in touch. Okay. All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, 267. Hi there. Hello, are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh.
You're on the air.
Hello. I'm sorry. I'm at work. I didn't know if I was on or not.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Who's this?
Okay. My name is Donna.
Donna, hi.
Hi. Excuse me?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right, Donna. And what's your birth date?
4/21/62.
Okay, what's going on? You were saying something. Sorry, I had to get all these little particulars from you here. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just calling. I was just wondering, do you see anything in my near future in the romance department?
Romance department. Okay, hold on just real quick. Was she 25/7?
Yeah.
25/7. Okay, Donna. By the way, I don't know if you are familiar with numerology at all, but your karmic number is 25 and your master number is 27. And actually,
master number is 7.
I mean, your master, what did I say? Would you say? your master number is 7. I'm sorry. Karmic number is 25, your master number is 7. So your life goes in increments of 7. Every 7 years you have a change. In the year 1987, there should have been something that occurred. Anything that you can reference real quick?
I got divorced from my first husband, and I had basically got into a new relationship. We ended up getting married, and we just separated about a year ago. We were together like
a year ago. You separated from your husband.
My second husband.
Second husband.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get married to him? Just so we have that for our notes. The second husband.
Technically married to him. It was for 13 years, August 30th, or August 28th was 13 years.
So that would have been August 28th of last year. So that would have been 2003 that you got married?
Yes.
And so that would have been 33 when you were 41, right? Is that right? Just shy of her.
Yes.
42.
But we were together for a total of like 30 years, 29 years.
So, okay.
20
years? She says 28 to 30 years. 28 to 30 years with the second husband.
Yes, and that was off and on.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's coming up on a change.
56.
At 56. Yeah, she's 55.
She 25 is not divisible by 7, so difference.
Right.
I'll be 55 next week.
Right. You're going to be 55 next week. So in a year, you're going to have a change. But there's also the, because your master number, there's increments from birth to death, but also from the time that you turn 25. So it's, you've got a lot of little changes going on.
Well, Donna.
What's her next? I have to calculate.
Donna, okay, so let's look at the window first. Now, this is a window. It's a window from one end to the other. The next relationship's coming within that window of 2 years. But that's the window. Now, the window has one end to the other end. There's a dimension to it. So we're looking at the possibility of something happening as soon as October of this year, September, October, somewhere in there. So
oh,
you
okay.
want to ask about what? You want to ask about romance. So first of all, first base, the prediction that there could be a romance occurring somewhere near or around September, October. Point one. Point two, looking at this, the images rush by, okay? So they rush by. I don't always know why they rush by, but one of the symbols that's rushing by is an optometrist. So first of all, anything with your eyes, glasses, did you ever know an eye doctor, anybody in the medical field, anything like that, first of all?
Yes, I do. I work in a hospital right now as we speak. I do housekeeping, and I am going to school right now to be a CNA, and I graduate May 4th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, May 4th is actually your year, 5-4. Now,
what?
She graduates May 4th.
She's born in 1960.
And she's 54.
Oh, her age, not her year.
Yeah.
Her age 1962.
Right, so,
age.
Okay, so Donna, we're constructing a psychic dialogue, okay? I don't know you, we don't know anything, but here we are. Now, the medical field, you're saying, yes, I work in a hospital. We didn't know that. So what that's indicating is that the romance is either directly or indirectly linked to the idea of you being in the medical field. You're going to meet somebody within the medical field, or being in the medical field is the validation on in a whole different other area that you'll be meeting somebody very soon.
Okay.
So you can meet someone in the workplace or connected to the workplace, or it could be not connected to the workplace at all. This is a validation that something's coming.
That validation.
So it may not necessarily come from the from your job, though it could.
Have you had any have you had any inner, what's your eyesight? Have you gone to the doctor? Is there anything wrong with your eyes?
My eyes, well, yes, I have. I wear glasses. That's about it. But in May, May 18th, I'm going to have a bunion removed that's really bad on my foot. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily eyes, but the fact that you wear glasses is. So it may not be a dramatic eye problem. You know, it's common, but not everybody wears glasses.
But then again, in reflexology, the foot can be connected to the eye. So we might be getting into a little bit of that conversation that might lead to some link to the eye. Yes, you wear glasses, but then the bunion on your foot, in terms of reflexology, could have some link to the eye. There seems to be some vibration here that's suggesting you're going to be connected to somebody soon. I will say this, somewhere, I don't know if it's up and coming or if it's already happened, someone loves a male, M-A-L-E, in your life, loved basketball. Any basketball fans up till now?
Not that I know of. My teacher that is in the clinical, one teacher, he's a very tall male. He could have been in basketball.
Yeah, maybe. He could have been in the circus, too. But, you know, I don't know about that.
Maybe he worked in medieval times.
Yeah, maybe he worked at medieval.
No, I didn't know if that's what you meant.
We're not laughing at you. We're laughing at it earlier.
I know
something
you're,
on the show.
The fact that you're struggling
there. Oh, okay.
There with that,
not you. It's not you at all.
The fact that you're struggling there with that one doesn't really give us
No, but she's trying to help, and that's
she's
nice.
Trying to help,
you're
right.
Doing well. It's just not necessarily fitting.
No, it's not fitting. I think it's the guy coming up. And maybe he's only 5'2". But he's the guy coming up.
Aren't there some short basketball players, kind of like phenoms
or
whatever?
Jerry West wasn't that tall.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's something to do with basketball. I don't know. You know, the court, the going on court. You know, do you live near a school or anything?
Yes, I do. The younger kids, they play basketball out back my house. But they're younger kids. I live in a row home, and they have a basketball court, and it drives me nuts. But I don't think that has anything to do with
oh,
it.
Oh, no, yeah. That's perfect. Your next boyfriend's going to be 12 years old.
No,
and he'll be arrested.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Okay. we'll do our next reading when you're
incarcerated.
Yeah.
You're on your, you know, your quarters on the payphone.
We'll do a show on pedophiles.
Will you please?
But,
today, my goodness.
But no, we're kidding you.
God.
Because, you know. Groucho Marx would have said the same thing. But anyways, no, you know what I think that is, Donna? I think that you should hang around basketball courts and pick up some. No, I think what that really means is that the idea that you're near that school and that basketball court is another link. There seems to be some indirect links that are leading to some form of validation that you're going to be encountering a romance.
Real quick, is there anyone specifically of interest to you?
Well, yes, I do have someone in interest that I have been. I don't think he's into basketball, but I don't know. I've been talking to for about 3 years. We're friends, but there's a very big attraction there on my part, and I don't know on his part, but.
Well, after 3 years, if the guy hasn't made a move, I mean, maybe it's him. I don't know. But is it clear that you're attracted to him? Does he know this?
Yes. Yes.
Does he have what's his birthday, by the way, real quick?
Oh, he's a Scorpio. He's November 11th or November 10th.
November 10th. Do you know the year?
I think he's like 50, I don't know the exact year, but he's like 56,
okay.
57.
56, 57, you don't know. Does he have kids?
Yes. One passed away. But they're,
oh.
Yeah, I thought he had been married. What do you do in the hospital? What's your role?
I'm housekeeping.
Yeah,
what'd she say?
Housekeeping. Maybe he has
kids. Oh,
they play basketball. But you're thinking it's someone completely new. You don't think this is 11-10. I mean, you've got some issues here with the birth date already.
You know, has there been opportunity for the guy to date you? Has there been an opportunity for that if he wanted to take it?
I would, but he kind of like shies away. He's been hurt and he don't want to get into a relationship, but he talks to me all the time. He sends me birthday presents, and he's a good guy. Actually, he did some work on my deck yesterday, but he just tends to – it's a weird kind of thing. I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, you know, he might have some kind of mental – I don't know. I don't know if that's the best person for you after 3 years, and he hasn't – you know, you'd have to really come up to the plate and take a risk and ask him – would he be interested in following through on a relationship because you're attracted to him? And, you know, just be mature about it. And if he says no, then you just maintain your friendship and you'll know from this reading that it's somebody else coming in. I don't know if it's him.
That's what I did. I actually did. And he's recovering. He's been for like about 7 years now. And he's got a lot of issues. His ex-wife had cheated on him, and he just does not want another relationship. He, like, from knowing him as a friend, I know he does, but he's scared, I think.
Okay, so we got to go move on. If you're grounded and you well know who you are, and you're not going to end up hurting this man, then keep it.
No.
See if you can encourage him into, you know, a more relaxed state of mind and to trust a woman again. I mean, he's got to get over it. If not, move on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I am. I'm just continuing to be. I'm just his friend, and that's my mindset. It's nothing but friendship.
It sounds like. Gosh, oh, it's 10 o'clock. It sounds like there may be something on the horizon that's better than what's currently going on in your life.
Yeah, it might.
Yeah.
Maybe it will.
Yeah,
be years. Getting, you know.
Yeah.
Move
2 years.
On. See what happens if you move on.
Okay, Donna. Thanks for your call.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Take care. Do you want to take a couple more callers? We've got two more.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going to go a little over today to accommodate the callers that we have, 703 and 646. So 703, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Emma.
Emma, hi.
I have a quick question. So my agency is in a process of streamlining or reducing staff. And I just want to see what you're picking up or what you're sensing in terms of my placement of it.
Okay, real quick, Emma, where are you calling from? What's your birth date, please?
So it's March and 28th and Virginia.
And the year?
Oh, 66.
66, okay. And you're calling from where?
Virginia.
Interesting. Okay.
What was your question?
It's regarding her agency. So, your agency for work. Are you? What kind of agency is this exactly?
Civilian. Oh, it's public.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm getting lost. What is your question? Is the agency what?
She's wondering about her job, right in the future with the agency. Is that, are we understanding the question right? Do you want to rephrase
it? Yes, you read correctly.
Okay.
Oh.
So she's wondering about her future employment.
Yeah. Emma, what?
I am looking for other forms of employment too.
Or other forms of employment.
Other forms of employment. Mm-hmm. In relation to the last 4 years, where were you 4 years ago?
In another city.
Okay.
So you were in another city at another job?
At another agency. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Uh-huh. And how long were you at that agency in total?
Oh, she's a nine.
For a couple of years.
A couple of years. How
More
long
than
have you
five.
Been with this agency? How long have you been with this agency?
For less than two.
So roughly speaking, between the two agencies, you've been there. There's been about a total of 4 years so far.
Right, but I have more time invested with the overall system, the government's federal system.
Yeah, but I don't mean that. I just mean in the last 4 years,
yes.
You've had about 2 years at one, a little bit over 2 years at one, a little bit under 2 years in this one. So if I go to the last 4 years, aside from the totality of your relationship with the agency, I'm hitting a point of reference that we could validate, right?
I'm not understanding. I'm sorry.
You're not understanding.
Okay.
Well, in other words, the last 4 years will comprise your 2 years with the other agency and your under 2 years with this one.
If you're talking about 4 years, yes, correct.
Yeah, that's all we want to talk about right now.
Okay.
That in the last 4 years, we could find a mark in the history of your agency work whereby we look at the last two jobs and it's been an accumulation of 4 years right now within those two contexts. You're going to be leaving this job. I don't believe that you're going to be there that long. Are you unhappy there?
I won't say unhappy, just probably more time to move on.
Okay, so you're feeling, I'm getting that you're going to be moving from that position. There's something going to be compelling you to move. So whether you like it or not, you're going to be either voluntarily moving or you're just going to find out that you're sort of pushed out.
What kind of work do you do, Emma?
Oh, finance. I mean, I have useful transferable skills, so it's.
So finance, like, I mean, are you a financial advisor? Are you in administration?
Financial, more, right, administration, finance.
Administration, which is what I wrote down. Financial.
Yeah. I think you're going to be, you know, to answer your question, Emma, I don't think you're going to be where you're at for very long. And
okay.
I would suggest that according to this reading that we're giving you, that you should think about leaving, that you're on the right vibe there. There's going to be two connections, one of which will be somehow indirectly connected to a bank or a banking of something regarding a bank.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
I've worked in one in the past in that type of agency.
So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even
maybe
that
going
reference
forward.
Going back, if I tap into that reference and use it as a validation, coming forward in time, it amounts to a validation on the current stage. You're meant to move forward. It's going to be in your best interests.
Okay.
Okay, Emma. Well, hopefully that's helpful to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and that's it for today. We're actually a little bit over here, Neil. So we are back on there Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners, for joining us. Bye-bye.